A reading from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kin shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
The second lesson is from the prophet Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Our third reading is from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all of your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. God will rejoice over you with gladness. She will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as the day of the festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it.
A story from the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month of that miraculous pregnancy of Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah and the mother of John the Baptist, an angel came to a little town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a young woman there, a virgin, a woman whole unto herself, who was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of the house of David. And the angel said to this young woman, whose name was Mary, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one." And she said, "What is this?" She was perplexed. She was confused. "What is this greeting?" she thought to herself. And the angel said to her, "Mary, Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And she was even more perplexed. "You have found favor with God," said the angel, "and so you shall conceive, and you shall bear a child, and you will name him Jesus. He will be the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary thought to herself and said, "How can this be? How can this be? For I am not yet married. I am still a virgin." And the angel said, "The power of the Most High will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, so that the child that is conceived will be called Holy and the Son of God. And Mary looked at the angel and said, "I am, and I have always been, the servant and the friend of the Lord God. So let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. for the word of God in scripture, for the word of God in music, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. So what words and phrases shimmered for you? One that jumped out at me, even though I had read this several times, was everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Even in the midst of struggle, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. I listened to these texts this week in tandem with hearing the news of the week, the continued debate of impeachment hearings in Congress, the naming of 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, climate change activist, as Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and the bullying response that she received. The celebration in memory yesterday of the Sandy Hook school shooting on its 7th anniversary. The knowledge that families are still separated at our southern border. Children are still kept in cages, and they are being denied free flu vaccines. The fact that in Alaska, the tundra, the Arctic, is melting quicker than we thought, and if it spreads to the entire Arctic territory, we will be closer to crisis than we had imagined. All of this is heartbreaking, fear-producing stuff. Last April, after the synagogue shooting in Poway, California, New York Times columnist David Brooks titled his column, "An Era Defined by Fear," the emotional tone underneath the political conflicts. Brooke writes that fear pervades our society, and that's really no great news to any of us. I think we all knew that. But he lays it out so succinctly that at least I, in reading, recognized it anew and in stark contrast to the celebration of this season. Brooke tells us that politicians use fear to rise to power, setting one group or tribe of people against another. Fear comes from our own personal traumas and our own experiences in childhood and beyond. Fear is exploited by the media to grab headlines. Fear grips our minds, making us numb and then unable to hear good news. Fear makes us angry, and acting out of anger produces more fear. Fear paralyzes our ability to take practical action to get stuff done for the good of ourselves, our families, our communities, and the world. Fear paralyzes our ability to share abundance. It moves us into scarcity thinking, away from generosity. But did you hear the word of God proclaimed by our prophets today? Micah, Isaiah, Zephaniah, the gospel writer, Luke. Each of these powerful writers was addressing a community in their time that was beset by fear. Fear of oppression and persecution, fear of failure, fear even of surviving. We are not the first generation to live in the midst of great fear. Isaiah says to the people, through all of that beautiful, revitalizing imagery of the barren wilderness coming to life, "Be strong. Do not fear. God will come to save you." Zephaniah tells the people, "You shall fear disaster no more. Rejoice and exult. Do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weak. God is in your midst." The angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And Micah promises one who is coming as a shepherd to lead and protect the people. "They shall live secure, for this one is of peace." These ancient words are also for us in our era of fear. And they are not pie in the sky, by and by kind of words. They hold truth. They hold truth that grounds us. Truth that we can know through our faith, through trusting in God's presence, even in the midst of extreme adversity, where there seems to be no hope on the horizon, through putting our faith into action day after day. At the end of his column, David Brooks wrote, "Fear comes in the night, but eventually you have to wake up in the morning, get out of bed, and get stuff done." I say to you, my friends, this day, that stuff is reading and remembering the promises we have heard in our text today. That stuff is praying with these promises in our hearts and minds. That stuff is our daily acts of kindness to combat the pervasiveness of fear. That stuff is working for justice, caring for our families, coming here to worship, celebrating this Advent season of hope, peace, joy, and love that prepares us to receive at Christmas and beyond, to receive again and again and again the Holy One who came to show us how to be human by being God with us. Does it seem impossible some days to keep on keeping on in the face of the fear and the anger in our age? Yes, it does. I know I have felt that this week, and I imagine you have felt it too at different times. But may we remember what the angel says: with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. This is what the angel said to Mary. And that, my friends, is a promise of pure joy that sustains us through happiness and sadness. Fear not. God is in the midst of you. Fear not. God is with us. With God, nothing will be impossible. Barren wildernesses will bloom. Miraculous births will abound. People will be united in love rather than in hate. And God will come, has come, and will come again in human form. The baby of a poor migrant woman will grow up to show us how to live in the transforming ways of God. So be joyful and rejoice. Amen.